You're listening to an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
You are listening to RNIB Connect Radio, and it's time to go for our Down the Line podcast. Our podcast where we preview various football action and discuss football with blind and partially sighted football fans. Today, we are previewing, of course, the upcoming Premier League season. Joining me are Andrew's back. We also have Ryan and Neil. Hello to you all.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey.
How do you feel the Community Shield game might impact two of the title chasers, these obviously being Arsenal and Manchester City? Because Arsenal beat Man City convincingly, I'd say 3-0. Again, it's kind of... Andy, let's start with you. It's technically one game, but it was quite a convincing performance from Arsenal to Man City's lacklustre performance. You know, do you think we can go much on that regarding the Premier League title? What do you think? What are your thoughts?
I don't think you can take that much from it. I think Arsenal would take quite a lot of confidence out of their performance. I think they showed... You know their because their pre-season wasn't as good as they were hoping either. So I think they'll be glad with the win, although it is technically still a friendly. I think we'll see what City do against Bournemouth at the weekend, and then we can sort of judge how it's all going from there. But I think the City will regroup and they'll always be stronger than a lot of the other teams. So I'm sure they'll be ready for Sunday.
Ryan. City have let quite a few players go. You know, Bernardo Silva's gone, John Stones has gone, Rodri's gone to Barcelona. How well do you think, you know, usually when they get rid of the big players, they usually have replacements ready to go. I don't know if they're at this point. Do you think they have replaced them, or do you think they actually still need to replace, still waiting for appropriate replacements?
I think they're still working on replacements. They were going to try and get... Fernandes from Chelsea, but Chelsea obviously put a deadline on that and they haven't done it in time. But I do think that Man City are missing something, and Rodri is a big loss to them, because over the last few years, if you've watched the team with and without Rodri was a huge difference when the games he played and the games where he was injured. Man City were almost a completely different team.
Neil, I mean, it takes times for players to adjust, even if they do bring them in, which might impact the beginning of their season. What are your thoughts on the Community Shield result? How much of an impact do you think that will have on the upcoming Premier League season?
Personally, I don't think it will make that much difference. Arsenal, obviously, they're still on a high. They've brought in some players. City, obviously, yeah, they've let players go. But I think one of the biggest things for them is the new manager coming in. How he's going to bed in. And obviously the other players, yeah, he's lost some players, but they've got a second team that's just as good as the first team, really, in depth. So I'm sure they got players there, but they still want to bring players in. So, you know, there's another, 12, 13 days left of the window. So I'm just hoping they don't come to Palace and try and get Wharton. They can have anyone else, I don't care.
I want to move on to Chelsea. A lot of my fellow Chelsea supporters have been talking about, whispering about Chelsea being title challengers. I'm not going to, it'd be nice, but I don't want to jinx that and say that this is going to happen. Ryan, what are your thoughts? Do you think Chelsea are capable of challenging for the title? They don't have European football to contend with, so you could argue, but what are your thoughts on Chelsea?
Capable, yes. Obviously, big fan of Xabi Alonso. I believe that he can certainly crack the whip a bit. And they have obviously signed some experience with Henderson and Welbeck going there. But to be honest with Chelsea, feels like a complete flip of the coin. I think they're either going to be up there challenging or be completely useless. And I can't quite decide which, because I've got nothing to base it on, but they've made some decent signings, bought some experience to go with a obviously very, very young squad. It could be very interesting watching Chelsea, but they might be a bit of a basket case.
It's always an interesting one, especially under Todd Bowley's ownership, who's now looking to sell his shares. So there's that bubbling under. Neil, what do you think?
Chelsea, as you said at the beginning, no European football. I think it's a perfect time for Alonso to get the team going, because they've definitely got the quality. I do think that they're going to be up there, thereabouts. But I think there's other teams as well that can say they're going to be up there, thereabouts. It's an open season in respects of, was it 9 new managers in the Premier League? So there's a lot of differences in there. But Chelsea, I do feel personally, you know, I think they will do okay.
Andrew, what are your thoughts? I mean, we're looking at, you know, if you've plenty of new players brought in, some more questionable than others. They brought in Jordan Henderson, not sure about that one. They brought in Welbeck, who scored plenty of goals. They brought in some defenders. I think, personally for me, from a Chelsea fan perspective, I still think they need to buy a goalkeeper, but whether that will happen is an ever-guessing game. What do you think?
They'll get enough good results, I think, to probably finish in the top six. I think to be a title contender, they're going to have to be pretty faultless, and I can't see that happening. I think it's going to take Alonso a little while. I mean, having more time on the training pitch will help, I think, you know, not having to contend with midweek fixtures. And I'm sure I like the experience they've brought in, but again, they're all injury prone, I think. You know, Welbeck had a great season last year, but he's quite prone to injuries. Rodgers, I like, but I don't know whether he'll necessarily hit the ground running. Henderson, I do like as well, but I think he's I don't know how often he'll play, really. I mean, whether he'll play every week. And like you say, I think they'd signed a defender from Spain who is a bit of an unknown. And then the goalkeeper situation, I think that could be a weakness.
Andrew, I want to move on to Ipswich, your club, of course, back in the Premier League. What is the main goal this season for Ipswich and kind of the biggest concern for the season?
Purely to stay up at this stage. I think they have to hit the ground running pretty quickly because they've got Sunderland at home on Saturday, then they're away at United, Liverpool at home, and then Palace and Everton away before the international break. So, you know, I think they will give a much better showing than they did last time. Because in the last Premier League campaign, they only won one game at home all season, and that was after Christmas. So I think if they can get a result on Saturday and, you know, go into the other games more positively, I think they'll stand a much better chance of getting a bit of momentum. Because I think if you don't and you just keep losing or not, you know, scraping past like I did last time, you know, they drew home to Fulham and Villa and United, but they just couldn't quite get the points. I think the heads go down after a little while and it just doesn't work out. And I think that, you know, that's where they've got to improve. But the amount of players they've signed, I think they've signed some great experience compared to the last time we got promoted 2 years ago. They signed a lot of good Championship players and they almost signed a team to get relegated with to in a hope to get them back up, which they did last year. But having signed Diop from Fulham, they signed Lukic from Fulham, they've signed Florentino from Burnley in midfield, you know, two good defensive midfielders. They've got Maeda from Celtic, who I like, Fatawu from Leicester. The main player in the attacking side is Julio Enciso, which they signed from Strasbourg. Now, he was on loan the last time they were in the Premier League, but unfortunately got injured. But he's a different class, I think. He'll make a big difference. So I think I don't worry about them defensively quite so much, but I worry about where the goals are coming from. I think if they can score nice and early, I think Emerson, we've signed this 24-year-old, or 22-year-old, sorry, from Toulouse. If he can get a goal early, I think that'll help him, and then we should be okay.
Now, regarding your squad depth, you mentioned obviously various signings. Do you think you have enough squad depth to manage a 38-game season and anything else that you may be doing, you know, domestic trophies-wise?
Depth, I would say they probably need an extra couple of players, but they should have. I think they've got enough quality in there now. I think they'll be a much tougher team to break down, which is the biggest. Biggest problem they had last time was they were in games like the last time they played at Crystal Palace near the end of the season. That was a game that they had to win, and it was like an end of season knockabout, really. Crystal Palace won 1-0 in the end, and it was, you know, that's where they're the sort of games where you have to be, you know, in it for 90 minutes or 100 minutes and, you know, really give the other team problems and, you know, not take your eye off the ball, because that's where. These teams, I remember watching them lose to Bournemouth in around sort of the back end of, well, the first half of the season, and they were 1-0 up with 20 minutes left, and Bournemouth brought on some subs who I hadn't particularly heard of, and they completely changed the game, just ran straight through Ipswich. I think Alex Scott was one of them at the time, which now is, he obviously has kicked on. He just ran through the squad, and they won 2-1 with a couple of minutes to go, and that just shows you the quality of these teams, that, you know, they don't even have to be in the game for lots of it, but they're always stand a chance, and you have to be, you know, right on your guard the whole match. No gimmies.
Ryan, Liverpool, looking at Liverpool, expectations are always high from for Liverpool every season. Following last season, what do you think is going to happen this season? Are Liverpool ready to challenge for the title, or is this going to be a more building phase?
To be honest, I think it's going to be more of a building phase. I'm a lot more optimistic on the general style of football, because from what I've already seen, it's more intensity. It's almost like the Jurgen Klopp days have almost come back again, the way that the football is being played. So it's going to be a lot more exciting. It's going to be a lot more fun to watch, which is going to be good. But I just don't think we've got the squad depth to actually mount a title challenge, because obviously with cups and Europe and everything else, it's going to be quite a lot. And obviously, Iraola's not faced the Champions League before. I think he's a good enough manager to learn these things. I just think that this season's going to be about just finishing as high as possible.
Quick question regarding your summer signings. Is there a signing in particular that I think will make or break kind of Liverpool's tactics for the season?
A couple. One thing I've seen in the last friendly was Araujo and Jeremy Jacquet. We haven't seen either of them because one's been coming back from a long injury that he got virtually when signing for Liverpool in January. He carried on at Rennes, but he wasn't able to play, and he's only got to play the last game. But he looks a real quality defender, and you can see why a lot of the clubs around Europe were after him. I mean, the Kop were singing his name after 13 minutes because he was that impressive. And Araujo brings more experience to the group as well. He was Barcelona captain previously. He lost some form, but I just feel like a place like Liverpool, we can build that up again. I just, after watching that, I know it was only a friendly, but after watching that, I do feel much more confident with the season ahead that we've got defensive reinforcements in. I just bizarrely think we're a bit short up front, even if we do sign Bradley Barcola.
Neil, let's focus on Palace now. Following your great season, especially on the European front, I've seen plenty of Palace games last season, and Palace can beat anyone on their day, I think. But, you know, what can you push for this season in terms of the league? Can you push for European spots again? What are your thoughts?
I would like to think we could, but at the moment we're in an awkward position. We've let some big players go that make a difference to the team, and getting that replacement in, the quality, not too sure. We're strong in positions, and yeah, on our day, we do give any team a good game. I'd love to think that we can push top eight, but obviously I think with Europe again, and obviously Europa League, it's a different league completely than the Conference League. It's going to be hard. Players, as I say, we still don't know everything that's going on with, you know, who we've got coming in. I know we finalised the deal for the youngster from Real Salt Lake, Gozo, but whether he's going to come straight in, don't know. We don't even know yet what's happening with Mateta. So we're at an awkward phase. New manager as well. Obviously, you know, his pedigree from what he's come with Lens, finishing runners-up last year, is good. But it's like everything, you know, we're one of the clubs that's got a new manager. How are we going to do? For us, it depends on the day. We can put in a performance that's absolutely amazing. And then, like Andrew said, we can play against, like, the game of Ipswich. Ipswich should have tonked us, but we came out 1-0 winners when they were up. And last season, we had games similar. So, you know, I don't think the Premiership is that straightforward now. I think there is definitely better teams in there that you know, if they can stick all the runs together, they can do well. Palace, I do feel that if we can click, we can do the same. But it's at the moment for us, we got a lot of hearsay players that have been interested by, you know, with other clubs. And we're in a phase that not necessarily suits us, because obviously, you know, we've had this 2 years of amazing success. So, you know, for me, I can't wait. Obviously, first game away, sadly, I can't do. But then we're at home on a Friday night, Man City. That will be a tester. And then it's after that that, you know, we get, people would say the easier games. But me, I don't think any game's an easy game. They're in the Premiership for a reason. You know, Ipswich coming up, Hull, Coventry, they've all spent. So why shouldn't they do well? And, you know, it could be a surprise again this season for a lot of clubs.
I've spoken to other Crystal Palace fans, and it seems like you're slowly building to a stage where you will have at least two players in each position, which I think you need in order to keep up with European football and league games at the same time, because that was kind of your undoing in the league, I think, last time, where you had the Conference League to put up with and you did have the league. And at one point, understandably, Glasner had to kind of put his eggs into the Conference League basket, and you ended up beating Rayo Vallecano, of course, in the final. So it paid off eventually for Glasner. Do you think you will need to do that again? How will you manage to balance these two commitments? Do you think Palace can do that?
I would like to think so, because looking at our team on paper now, like you've just said, we do have players for each position, and in some we do have three. So we do look strong in that way. The only place that I feel at the moment we're not so is up front. If this youngster coming in, as good as what we've seen, you know, with highlights, fantastic. He could cause some problems. But having, I would like to think that the new manager has obviously got his own ideas. We're not just going to focus on Europa League or the league. We're going to try and give it the best shot as we can for both. Otherwise, it's not worth us even trying to compete. You know, it's, as a fan, each one of us want to see our team give 110%. When you see a lineup and the fans are questioning it, you kind of doubt what's going to happen. But we do have players there that have got Premier League quality now. Tomiyasu from Arsenal played in the Prem, went off, played in for Ajax. So he's come in and he's going to give us something. We got the chap from Spain, Mingoza. So we've brought some players in, and I think we've been obviously shrewd with money, because we have to. Having the UEFA thing on us, we have to make sure we're within the guidelines. We can't take any risks financially. Hopefully, fingers crossed, I think we'll do well, but proof's in the pudding for the end of the season.
Well, exactly. Now, before we finish up, I want to do some few predictions, nominations, which I always like to do. So the first thing, I'm going to come to each of you in turn for this one. Who do we think is going to be a surprise package? Which team do you think will be a surprise package? Let's start with you, Ryan.
I'm kind of going on the side of Hull City. Everybody's got them penned down for relegation, and I just feel their manager and squad are interesting enough to maybe do a bit of a Sunderland and surprise everybody. I still think they're going to be in a bottom half of the league challenge, but I think they may surprise people by staying up.
Andrew, let's come to you. Who'll be your surprise package?
I think Leeds will have a better season than last year. I think having signed James Trafford and Harry Wilson, I think along with the players they had from last season, I think they'll be a strong outfit. I think they could possibly push for the top half.
Neil, what are your thoughts? Surprise package?
Tottenham last year, they brought De Zerbi in and he done what was needed. But what he started with now, he's brought in, I think, some good players. Obviously, he spent some money to do that. But he's also brought in, you know, Dubravka, keeper that's Premiership experience is fantastic. And, you know, I do think that this year, I don't think they're going to be struggling down the bottom, that's for sure. I do think they might be a surprise and be up there, like as a lot of clubs will say they should be with, you know, the size. But I just think on their players and the manager, I think that could do them well.
Let's reverse this a little bit. From a surprise package to overachieve, which surprising teams do you think may struggle that you maybe wouldn't expect so? Andrew, let's come to you first.
For me, I think Fulham could struggle. They've lost a couple of... Well, they lost Wilson, Lukic, Diop. And I think losing players out the spine of your team would hurt you. But they have some replacements from Spain, but I don't know much about them. And it just depends how quickly they get up to speed, because often players, when they come from the Spanish league, aren't quite as used to the rough and tumble as hardened Premier League players. So I think Fulham, for me, could struggle.
Andrew beat me to it. I'm thinking Fulham as well. Literally, the same basis. They've let and lost players. I think they may struggle. I don't want them to struggle, but I think they may do.
Patrick, football pundits are going for Fulham. I didn't rate Arbeloa when he was the Liverpool right-back, but as a manager, I've got not a lot of faith in. I just think that the Spanish league's completely different. He's not got much experience in management, and as everyone said, they've lost some of their best players. And Andy's call about Leeds was actually really good. I wish I'd thought of that one. But bringing in players like Harry Wilson, who pretty much kept Fulham going last season, and I think Silva did actually a remarkable job with them. And I think the big loss of him, and then bringing in a guy without much experience, and his only experience in the Premier League was playing not brilliantly for Liverpool. I just think they're really going to struggle.
Let's talk relegation. I'll come to you in turn again. Who is going down? Shall we, Neil, your three relegation teams?
My three will be Sunderland, Hull and Coventry.
Andrew, who's going down?
Hull will be bottom, second bottom Coventry, and third bottom Fulham.
Ryan, bottom three from you?
Coventry, Fulham, and I'm going to surprise everybody and say Newcastle.
I mean, they've let go of a lot, so they've lost a lot, so and it's not that surprising, I think. And to finish off, last but not least, the obvious one, who is winning the Premier League? Andrew?
Arsenal.
Let's go for Ryan.
Arsenal have just signed Konsa from Aston Villa.
Yeah.
Which is the one place where I felt they were a bit weak with Saliba. But so, unfortunately, I'm going to go Arsenal.
Are we getting another hat-trick, Neil?
Yes, we are. They've got the one under their belt. This one as well, I think they'll do. And with what signings they're doing, and literally, obviously, yeah, they've just got Konsa in for 51 million. I think, yeah, they're building now for a future. Similar to what City did and how City dominated, I think Arsenal are doing the same with their players. They have some older ones with experience, and they've got youngsters as well. So I think they've got a good mix to go for a few years.
Well, there we go. Hat trick for Arsenal to retain the title, and we will find out throughout the season just what happens. And I'm sure you'll be hearing from down the line plenty of times as we get into all the action throughout the season from the Premier League and hopefully a bit of EFL as well. But for now, though, thank you very much, Andrew, Neil and Ryan, for joining me here on Down the Line to look forward to the Premier League season. And we'll be back with you, I'm sure, very soon. Thank you all for joining us here on RNIB Connect Radio.
For more interviews, features and shows, go to your favourite podcast provider and search for RNIB Connect Radio.